heading in the haunt's direction, arms outstretched, a grim howl oozing from their invisible mouths. There was no need to read their stats to know what they were.
Spectres!
Someone screamed.
Are you sure about this?
Pris asked, as Catalin shoved the diviner in her direction. The man didn't fight back. She could have poked him with a hot coal and he wouldn't have cared.
As sure as I can be,
Catalin said.
What kind of question is that?
It wasn't an easy decision to make.
Get him out of here. Get the guild. Have them deal with the watch.
She turned her back on her friend before her nerves could fail her. She could see the faint glow of the portal, growing ever weaker. It'd close soon. She took a step in that direction.
Cat!
Pris called. The thief's face was covered in shadows.
I barely even recognize you! The Catalin I knew would have never run headfirst into danger! This is heroic behavior!
There was a note of horror in her voice.
What happened to you?
I didn't wish it to be this way,
Catalin thought.
Then some arsehole raised my prick of a father into an undead monster.
No one gave me a choice,
she said aloud.
Now get the fuck out of here. Heroics are contagious, you know.
Pris paled and caught Manfred by the wrist. Outside, the sky had gone dark. Everyone knew the undead were stronger at night.
Good luck, Cat.
Sure, why not?
Catalin thought. She'd need luck. The portal waited for her. And past it? Who knew? Probably Nikolai and his cult waiting in ambush. Or she'd appear right in reach of Torst's draining aura, too close for any escape. Even if she survived the first few seconds, there was little she could do against the Wraith. The memory of that unavoidable fear she'd felt, the effects the Wraith's aura had had on her, it almost made her turn back at the last second. That, more than anything else, was what propelled her forward with the last step. If she ran now, she'd live with that fear forever. It had become real. She crossed the portal. Reality shifted. For a tiny fraction of a second, she was nowhere at all, the darkness between worlds, empty except for a mountain in the distance, glowing veins of red lava flowing all around and through it. She caught a hint of small, pink stones flowing through the red currents. Then it was an empty clearing, surrounded by a circle of trees. The air was cold, freezing even. The memory of the laughing mountain left her mind completely, becoming less than a bad dream. There was only the forest, the howling of distant wolves, and a path of dead vegetation spreading in a line from the portal and into the forest.
Torst!
She said aloud. She checked her dagger and made sure her weapons were still there.
I guess it's time for a family reunion after all.
Chapter 23 Shadows of Hoya.
Spectres!
Bryn said. His sickle lay forgotten on the ground.
They are a Wraith summons!
He looked around, panic settling in his eyes.
Here? In the middle of nowhere? How can this be?
Torst, Ed thought, as panic threatened to drown his brain.
It is here.
And if the Wraith was here...
Nikolai. Where?
Run!
One of the farmers screamed.
A Wraith nearby! Every man for himself!
No!
Ed turned to the voice's direction and pointed at it. He realized that, at some point, he had drawn his short sword.
Everyone, cut your friends free! Get them inside the haunt!
Inside the dungeon?
Another villager said.
We should run for Undercity!
In this cold? In the dead of the night?
Listen up!
Ed said. His evil eye flared again.
You can do whatever you want. I won't stop you. Run, if you wish. But you'll be running into the dark, and you know what may be lurking out there.
He pointed his sword at the incoming specters.
The dungeon is well defended. Kess is there, as are the rest of my minions. Out here?
He encircled the line of undead with the tip of his sword.
They can strike at you from anywhere. Your call.
Without looking to see if his words had convinced them, he ran for the spider warriors. I need one of you to warn everyone.
I am the fastest,
said Tulip immediately.
What should I say?
If Ed had had a day to prepare, he could have spent it giving instructions. Right now, his mind worked in overdrive. Every shadow could be an ambush. Every tiny rock could be a hiding spot from where Nikolai could spring. One thing at a time, he urged himself. A million years ago, when he was an MMO player, he had realized that a successful raiding party depended on their leaders keeping calm under ever-increasing pressure. He never suspected it was this hard in real life. He'd had no reason to. His heart pumped blood so hard that he could feel his veins jumping under his skin.
Tell Kess to expect an attack. Have her coordinate the defenses. She'll know what to do. The others should get all our undead killing tricks ready. Spread them around the dungeon and send whatever we can spare my way.
I saw Kessa's stats sheet,
Kaga told Ed, who by now had forgotten all about the Kaftar.
She's your best warrior. You want her here, with us.
I want her defending my people,
Ed snapped back. There was no time for a tactical discussion.
Those things can get through walls. Out here, in the open, we have a chance against them,
Ed said quickly, as the spider darted off toward the haunt.
But the man who summoned the Wraith isn't an idiot. He knows that and sent them out in the open anyway.
So it's a trap,
said Kaga without looking at Ed, because the Kaftar wouldn't take his eyes off of the specters. Their howling was growing louder with every second. Less than a minute, and the first wave would reach them.
Pull back, Dungeon Lord! Open ground is no place for you. Let your minions handle this!
Ed risked a glance over his shoulder. Most of the villagers were working to free the ones trapped by the webs, frantically trying to cut them loose. If Ed pulled back now, or if the three spiders and the lone Kaftar fell to the specters...
My place is here, Ed said.
It was strange. He wasn't scared anymore. Just anxious. And excited. He wondered if his body could pump enough adrenaline to make him overdose. It was simple. The villagers needed time to run. The haunt needed time to prepare. He would get them that time.
Ha!
Kaga cackled with approval, and his scimitar danced in his hand. For a second, Ed felt connected to the strange Kaftar. They both were feeling the same urges.
It isn't in me to deny a man the chance to die bravely in battle. Pact with me, Dungeon Lord. My gut tells me we'll need all the advantages we can get.
Agreed.
Ed rattled off his conditions, which weren't many, through gritted teeth. That inhumane humming. Behind him, a few of the villagers wailed with terror. The first three specters floated in range of Ed and the others. More, so many more, following after them. A dark mist erupted out of Ed's chest, waded through the air like a serpent, and traced a circle around him and the Kaftar. A lone tendril of smoke reached Kaga's heart and connected him to Ed.
For the cluster!
The three spider warriors screeched.
For the queen! For the hunt!
Strands of web hit the closest specter in the chest, went halfway through, smudged its transparent insides, and slowed it down. Kaga dashed toward the specter. The fang dagger surged up through the air, passed between the specter's extended arms, and neatly bisected it, like parting a cloud. The specter's body lost cohesion, smoke carried away by the wind, and the webbing fell to the ground. Nothing was left behind. The two specters darted to Kaga, and Ed jumped in the way of the closest one. He jabbed at it with his short sword, and the steel went clear through its chest, doing no damage. The specter thrashed at him with its arms. Ed stepped away, barely, but a transparent fingertip reached his shoulder. He felt a surge of electricity spread through his body.
Shit!
Cold and numbness, coming from the tiny spot where the creature had touched him. Endurance drainers, then, by touch, and invulnerable to normal weaponry. That had a solution.
Eldritch Edge!
Ed called out, and his sword burst into dark green flames, just as the specter closed in for another strike. The flaming blade crashed against the undead skull, splitting it in half. There was a flash of arcane overload, and the shade exploded. Two triumphant cries pierced the night. One was from Kaga. Ed realized the other was coming from himself. He darted through the still dissipating smoke. The Kaftar had already dispatched the third specter. The first round was theirs. And now they were surrounded. The undead song pierced Ed's ears, closer and closer, as dozens of black hands extended in his direction. It wasn't one of Catalin's best days. Her dagger neatly pierced the neck of the nearest specter, and did nothing to it.
Oh, come on!
She jumped back, arcing her back to avoid the draining touch of the specter. She had to activate her advanced dodge and her feline acrobatics at the same time right afterward because three new specters surged through the trees, past the wide trunks like they were but illusions, and reached out for her. She vaulted past their heads, well beyond the normal jumping range of a non-talent-assisted human, stepped neatly on the trunk surface, and propelled herself past the specters, adjusting her direction halfway through the air by planting a hand on the ground and pivoting on it. Simply put, it wasn't fair. Under normal circumstances, a specter would have been about as dangerous as a zombie. Their stats were pathetic, mere necromantic emanations, residues from the wraith's feeding.
But I can't fucking touch them!
None of her many weapons were enchanted. Sure, she was pissed about it now, but she had never, in her entire career, needed an enchanted weapon until tonight. Enchanted weapons were for assholes who couldn't defend themselves without assistance, the same way an amateur thief might buy a lock-picking talent instead of learning the hard way. Her alert talent blared a warning, and she darted to the left without looking. A specter had crept up behind her through a small hill and missed her neck by a hairbreadth.
I can barely see them,
Catalin recognized. Even with the moonlight above, the shadows of the trees were enough to turn them invisible.
So I can't hurt them, and I've got no idea what I'll do when I find Torst,
she muttered through gritted teeth. It was time to get reinforcements. The only problem was finding them. The forest looked the same to her, and Ed hadn't told her where the haunt was located. She turned her back on the oncoming specters and ran toward the forest, in the direction where she had first found them. Her reasoning was simple. The direction with the most enemies had to be the correct one. Thorny bushes and branches scraped her arms, legs, and face as she ran, but she paid them no mind. Her talents saved her from stumbling over rocks and other unseen obstacles many times over. The specters gave chase with surprising agility. They had no need to dodge any obstacle. They simply went through. With any luck, she'd find Ed and the others at the most dangerous spot, and she'd improvise from there. Instead, as she reached the crest of a steep slope, she discovered a deadened area below about 10 strides in diameter. The wraith floated a few feet above the withering vegetation, its empty sockets turning to Catalin, the smoldering green points of light inside them glowing brighter for an instant as it recognized her. Catalin cursed, and by instinct, tried to go back the way she'd come. But the three specters had gained on her with her back turned to them, and she had to jump down the slope to avoid their charge. They passed right above her head as she fell, going through a strand of her hair, and took their places next to the wraith. The thief rolled on the ground, pain shooting through joints as she landed.
Ah, dearest Catalin,
Torst said with that artificial voice, utterly devoid of human warmth.
We are reunited once again.
You're dead, asshole!
Catalin exclaimed, standing up. She threw a knife at it, but the blade harmlessly disappeared into the black shroud. The fact that the dead thing could speak, that the creature remembered the way her father had talked at her when she was younger, before the ambition and the drinking took their toll on him. It was worse than its fear aura.
It's not really him,
she reminded herself.
It has a mind score, but no spirit. It's just a damned after-revenge.
Maybe someone ought to let the wraith know. It sighed, as if making the death throes of a dying man, while the wind spread its tattered shroud behind it.
Why won't you come here and give your old father a hug?
It extended its bony arms toward her and flew in her direction. The flaming edge smashed against the extended black hand and disintegrated it as magical feedback sparked around the impact, like a thunderclap going off during a quiet night. Ed dodged the specter's counterattack and struck it through the chest with a jab as fast as lightning. The undead wailed and disappeared like it had never been there. Then his eldritch edge reached its limit, and the flames died down. The sudden lack of the green flame's brightness blinded him for a moment. He instantly felt the cold, terrible bite of a specter's fingers as they went past his armor. It was a strike meant for his heart, but at the last second, somehow, his armor had pushed the fingers away. He still felt the fingernails raking lines of emptiness across his chest, and his endurance lost another 2 points. His improved reflexes managed to buy him a second to retreat, dashing a stride away from the specter. The short sword in Ed's hand was now as heavy as a claymore, his breathing was wild, uncontrolled, and his legs burned with the effort of moving across the snow. Behind him, Kaga's dagger reached Ed's specter, cut its hands off, and the Kaftar finished it with a jab to its neck.
"Cast that spell again!"
Kaga suggested. "There's still the Wraith," Ed muttered, trying to get his mind away from the pain in his chest. He had 3 spells left and the rune that Levi had given him. He needed the rune to strike at the Wraith from a distance, and the spells to minor order it to stay away. On the other hand, if the specters killed him now, it wouldn't matter how many spells he had saved.
"Watch out, Lord Wraith!"
one of the spiders called out and jumped to his right. She tried to bite one of the specters, and although her fangs managed to hurt it and force it back, Ed saw with his evil eye how her endurance was reduced by half. The spider's legs buckled under her as her entire body shook with unexpected tiredness. 3 specters approached her. Ed jumped over her trembling body.
"Eldritch Edge!"
His blazing sword sliced the middle specter in half. With every swing, the weight of the blade increased, and his arms further burned with effort. Red pain pulsed at the edge of his vision, marking the veins of his eyes. Without Kes's hard training, he suspected the constant endurance loss would have floored him minutes ago. With a scream, he brought the sword down hard across the second specter's torso, then against the third. It was like fighting underwater, or in a dream.
"We can't touch them!"
the spider complained behind him as he traced a circle with his sword to keep the specters at bay.
"As soon as we do, we lose endurance! We're useless!"
"Use your webs!"
Ed told her over his shoulder. At least it would slow them down. Kaga darted inside his field of view. The Kaftar's tongue was out between his yellowed teeth.
"Had I known we'd be having so much fun tonight, I'd have brought the rest of my cackle!"
A string of web went past his shoulder and smacked a specter in its blank face, and Kaga killed it before the creature knew what had happened.
"There's too many of them," Ed realized.
He and the Kaftar had managed to keep them at bay, but they were still surrounded, and Ed could barely protect the spiders. So far, no help had come from the haunt, which could only mean they had problems of their own.
"We'll never win if we defend forever. They'll just wear us down," he decided.
He had to go on the offensive. He couldn't give in to panic. The stats of the specters flew across his eyes. Specter, humanoid. Necromantic construct. Brawn and endurance, 5. Agility, 5. Spirit, 0. Mind, 5. Charisma, 5. Skills, unknown. Talents, vitality drain. Touch, incorporeal presence, summon, torst, wraith.
The wraith!
The specters weren't the problem. It was the wraith who controlled them. They weren't even creatures. They were summons. He was getting his ass kicked by conjurations.
Kaga!
Ed punctured the throat of a specter that had come too close. The brief arcane thunder that resulted illuminated the distant tree line, revealing more incoming specters.
We need to find the wraith!
And miss all the fun here?
The Kaftar replied. As he spoke, a specter charged him with unexpected speed. It managed to strike against Kaga's fur a second before he jabbed at its transparent jaw and rammed his dagger up to the hilt inside the undead's head. Kaga's endurance had lost several ranks. He now had about the same as Ed on a good day. The circle of specters was thinner near Kaga's flank. Ed stared back at his spiders. 2 were busy protecting their fallen comrade with strings of web that came out thinner and thinner with each shot.
"Can you stand?"
Ed asked.
"Are we retreating?"
the spider asked weakly.
"If so, leave me here. I'll cover your retreat."
"We are charging."
Ed gestured at Kaga's side, then had to dodge a swipe from one specter. 2 more used that opening to rush him, and he had to jump away from the spiders toward Kaga. The world slowed down as his improved reflexes burned through his energy reserves with a vengeance. He changed his center of gravity, like Kes had taught him, and threw a horizontal slash that cleaved through the 3 undead, destroying them. The magical feedback surged around him, and he could smell burnt hair and ozone.
"Now, follow me!"
He rushed past Kaga, killed the specter the Kaftar had been fighting, and launched a series of strikes that forced the rest to pull back. To his sides and behind him, the rest of the specters closed in, only seconds away from engulfing them all. Instead of standing his ground, Ed pressed the attack. His teeth were gritted together so hard that his jaw flared with sparks of pain. But he didn't care. Pain meant he was still alive. It meant he could still fight. Next to him, Kaga rushed and danced among the specters, drawing the heat away from Ed. The Kaftar had discarded his scimitar since his daggers, forged out of a spider queen's fangs, could actually hurt the undead. A rain of webbing shot from behind Ed's head and fell over the specters in front of him. They weren't smart enough to ignore it, and Ed used the opening to punch through the circle of undead, sword slashing and jabbing and stabbing around him as he charged, blindly, through the mob of undead, using his improved reflexes to give him the extra speed he needed. 2 points of icy pain spread across his back. Without his pledge of armor, he'd be dead already.
Endurance at 8.
He could barely keep his sword raised, and the world was but a blur of motion. But the motion was behind him. He had pulled through. His fingers rummaged through his pockets. He ignored the agility potion, which had a metallic feel, and grabbed the crystal one. Vitality. He uncorked it with his teeth and poured the warm liquid through.
Thank you, Andrina, you beautiful herbalist.
Reality came back into focus. Kaga, a few steps away, was trying to follow in Ed's direction. But the specters had already closed ranks once again. Unlike Kes, who had a defensive fighting style, Kaga relied on sheer speed and reflexes to overwhelm his opponent. It was a hunter's style, not a soldier's. He was built around finishing the fight as fast as he could. The evil eye registered a Kaftar version of improved reflexes, along with talents to improve potions effects, enhanced senses, and minor regeneration. Nothing that could let him tank repeated drains to his stamina. Just the opposite, sadly. So he and Ed were at a disadvantage against big groups of weak enemies. Ed had to do something, and fast.
Time to drone it up, then.
With an effort of will, Ed summoned a dozen of them right above the battlefield and had them fall over the specters' heads. The drones screamed sharply as they fell, purple tunics flapping in the wind, horrified eyes fixated upon the incoming undead. On impact, they were automatically unsummoned in puffs of smoke. They were useless against the touch-activated drain. But it took the specters' attention away from Kaga and the spiders, just like the web had done moments earlier. Ed ran back into the fray. Working with the Kaftar and the spiders, they managed to pull through. He could feel the vitality potion consuming itself in his veins from the effort of keeping the drones raining down. He stopped the instant the last spider had made it through the throng. At the same time, his eldritch edge ended.
Run!
Ed exclaimed, then set the example.
We're heading toward the forest,
said Kaga. Next to them, the spiders tried their best to keep up the pace.
Wraith's that way, Ed panted. We kill it, we end this.
My father killed a wraith once, Kaga said.
Or at least, that's what Ed thought Kaga had said, because his tongue was flapping out of his mouth as he ran.
I'm eager to match his feet, although I wish we were better prepared.
Trust me,
said Ed as they reached the trees.
So do I.
He jumped over a thick root, evaded an oncoming specter, and kept moving forward. He summoned a few drones as he moved and had them scatter behind him and his group to distract the pursuing specters. As he was focusing on his drones, he realized with a pang of panic that he was losing drones inside the haunt, left and right.
Nikolai!
It had to be.
Protect the villagers,
Ed ordered his haunt's drones with desperation. It felt like he was running away from his dungeon.
And my friends. Have them survive until I come back, no matter the fucking cost.
Where are we going?
One of the spiders asked. It was hard to find the way, with only the moonlight to guide them across the dark forest and the snow at their feet weighing down their every move.
We find the path with the most enemies, Ed told her. There's always a boss fight at the end.
Where is Ed?
Asked Alder, right before plopping down into a seat in the mess hall. He was behind you, Kes. For a second, the mercenary wanted to ignore the dungeon lord's absence. She was tired, dammit, and Ed could take care of himself.
Probably got distracted on the way,
she said.
Let me check real quick. Grab me one hell chicken leg, won't you?
She could smell it all the way from the kitchens, and her stomach rumbled accordingly.
Oh, was she hungry.
Ed wasn't around the entrance hall.
back outside?
Or he got sidetracked, had gone into one of the other tunnels. Left would have brought him to her training center, Levy's laboratory, or the hell chicken farms in between them. The others would have led him to the brewery near the Batblin's quarters.
Well, I'm sure he'll show up when he's as hungry as I am.
After all, she wasn't a babysitter. She was about to turn back when she heard a clattering coming from the entrance tunnel. A horned spider rushed inside. A princess, judging from her chitin's ridges, but really the same size as a normal warrior. She was excited, body language implying she was ready for a fight.
Am I really able to read a spider's body language now?
Kes wondered with dismay.
What am I turning into?
Elf!
The spider exclaimed, mistaking her for her distant cousins.
We're under attack!
A chill ran down Kes's spine. Despite that, her martial training took over and allowed her to remain calm.
Explain yourself! Please let it be a giant bear. Gods, have it be something stupid.
Spectres!
The spider exclaimed.
Dungeon Lord Wraith has gone to face them. He fears an ambush is coming to the haunt. He has orders for you. Defend the haunt! Kill his enemies!
Motherfucker!
Kes clenched her hands into fists.
Spectres? He went to face them alone? Is he deaf? Just a few hours ago, I told him to let us protect him.
She made for the tunnel, but the spider stopped her.
You have orders!
The critter hissed. Kes was prey to many mixed feelings boiling inside her at the same time. Anger.
A few months ago, I'd have killed you without a second thought, spider.
Denial.
I am not a fucking grunt, and Ed isn't a fucking general.
Shame. Because she kinda was. And she had her duty. And she was wasting time. At some point, she had drawn her sword and shield. She turned briskly and almost impaled Alder.
Whoa there!
Alder almost dropped the chicken breast he was eating.
Careful where you put that thing!
Then he noticed Kes's maddened expression.
What the hell is going on?
That did her in. She wasn't a grunt, and Ed wasn't a general. But there was a chain of command. Gone was the avian woman. The soldier was back at the helm. Her hunger became but a distant memory.
Sound the alarm,
she told him.
We're under attack. Nikolai's using specters as a distraction. Either he sent the Wraith this way or he's coming himself.
Alder paled.
Is this a joke? Where's Ed?
The sensible thing for him to do would be for him to hide in the seat room. Where do you think he is?
Kes said, almost hissing like the spider had.
Light's mercy,
Alder whispered, staring behind Kes's shoulder at the darkness outside.
We have to help him.
Sound the alarm!
Kes exclaimed, grabbing the bard by the shoulders and shaking him.
Has the world gone mad? Why is he still standing here?
She didn't need to search for the answer.
He's but a civilian. He knows nothing of what's coming.
You're faster than me,
she said softly, letting the terrified bard shake her off.
Ed's facing undead, so grab our tools as you go. Silver, holy water, blessed knives, runes. But you must hurry. Every second you waste is a chance for him to die. And us, Alder. Us too.
She kept that thought to herself. For a second, she feared that Alder would just stand there, paralyzed by fear. Then she saw his pale blue eyes gain a hint of steel. Trembling all over, he nodded.
Nimble feet!
Fast like lightning, he disappeared into the tunnel to Levy's laboratory.
Attack! We're under attack! Everyone get ready! Whoever can fight, arm yourselves!
His voice came fainter and fainter.
What about me?
The spider asked.
The other tunnel!
Kes barked. While the spider ran, the mercenary headed outside.
Oh, Elita's tits,
she whispered sadly. A small part of her had hoped that the spider had merely been joking, or mistaken somehow. But there were specters about, all right. Black humanoid blots in the distance, coming down the slope that led to the haunt's valley. The villagers from the camp were running away from the incoming wave, some of them carrying men and women covered head to toe in spider web.
What the hell happened here?
Then she caught a glimpse of Ed, a flaming green sword challenging the darkness, and a gleam from his evil eye as he rushed the specters. He had the kaftar, Kaga, running next to him, cackling like a madman, and three spider warriors guarding his rear. The green sword clashed against the shadows, stemmed the wave, and forced it to part around the flames. Then it was enveloped by the inky, shifting mass of specters. From her vantage point, Kes saw the Dungeon Lord and his minions make a brave stand against the undead, a small circle of eldritch light defying the darkness. It was like one of the bard's stories come to life, but every detail was wrong. Instead of a noble king leading a desperate charge to save his kingdom, it was a minor dungeon lord in the middle of nowhere. Instead of valiant knights clad in golden armor, Ed was surrounded by allied monsters. And instead of a kingdom, he was risking his life for a bunch of drunks and ne'er-do-wells, some batblins, and...
And you, you asshole,
she told herself. She jumped down without thinking, as if she could reach him and join that mad stand herself. As she did so, the outskirts of the valley came into view. There was a silver glimmer of moonlight over polished steel. Kes's heart thumped in her chest. Red capes flapping in the wind. A score and a half, from the looks of it, coming from the edges of the valley. A perfect flank to the specter's attack. They'd arrive moments after the villagers, if the gods were merciful. Men and women, mostly Starovosian, with a few elves thrown into the mix. She saw faces covered by hoods, the hoods engraved with minor defensive enchantments. Armed to the teeth, the lot of them. A tall man led them. He had a dark, proud countenance and was attractive in a cruel way. His long black hair reined over his shoulders and onto his breastplate. He saw her standing there atop a small rocky hill, exposed, nothing to her sides but empty air and slanted rock. Had she been naked and taking a bath, she would have been about as vulnerable. And he knew it. For a second there, Kes could almost read his thoughts. He made a gesture to his caped men. Kes saw the hands raise, saw them take aim. Short bows, runes, fingers loaded with arcane devastation.
Son of a bitch,
she said with a raspy voice. Devastation soared toward her. Chapter 24. Home Invasion. Kes raised her shield to meet the incoming projectiles and ran for her life as she did so. If Sergeant Ryashia had been alive to watch her go, the old stout warrior would have swollen with pride. Kes didn't stop to look at her attackers, didn't waste time issuing a defiant challenge, didn't try to dodge the attacks. She simply charged at the nearest source of cover, a jagged outcrop at the bottom of the slope. Her shield rattled on her arm as several impacts smashed against it. A normal shield wouldn't have done much against the spells, but her defensive talent Shieldmaster paid for its experience cost several times over at that moment. Still, it did little to protect her against the raw strength of the impacts. The force of the lances rattled her to the bone, caused her to grit her teeth, and made her see stars. She lost her footing, and the last part of her charge to the outcrop she made rolling. She smashed against the jagged rocks, ass first, and she lay there for an instant, out of breath, stunned, barely knowing what had happened. At least the snow had slowed her fall.
Move, boot!
Sergeant Ryashia's voice came from a distant part of her mind.
Have you learned nothing I taught you? Never give your enemy a static target!
Kes whimpered, then forced herself to crawl behind the outcrop, seconds before a second volley peppered the rocks and showered her in sharp splinters.
By the gods, I'm still alive!
Battered, yes, hurting all over and bleeding from a dozen scrapes. But scrapes could heal.
Long time no see, Rhea,
she said aloud like a mad woman. Kes stood and stole a glance over her cover. The leader of the cultists, that had to be Nikolai, had ordered a ceasefire and was maneuvering his forces to surround Kes's current position from both sides. From where she was standing, she could see the villagers well. They had stopped in their tracks, paralyzed by fear.
Don't just stand there,
she hurried them.
Run! They can't shoot you inside the haunt!
She showed them her shield. The round wooden surface had taken a battering and was barely still holding itself together.
I'll go first. Don't stop for anything or anyone.
The trick with civilians was to not give them time to think things over. Kes roared with all her might. A as much to embolden the villagers as herself, and jumped away from the outcrop, running like Charon himself was on her heels.
"It's like war track all over again, isn't it, Boot?"
Sergeant Riashiel laughed inside her head.
"Us grunts leading the charge and hoping the assholes behind us are following."
Arrows and ice bolts smashed all around her the instant she started moving, but the cultists had to deal with the treacherous terrain of the Haunt's rocky hills, and their aim was off. She saw the Haunt's entrance coming closer and closer. She was going to make it. A section of her shield's edge exploded, and she felt the wooden shards scrape her neck. The impact was so strong it pushed her shield away and almost made her fall over. An arrow, just at the right angle. The shield had deflected it, but barely. Someone behind her screamed in pain.
Shit!
To stop would be to die with them. She forced herself forward and somehow found enough strength to raise her shield again. She reached the tunnel. A firebolt scorched the wall, a stride away from her face. She turned back. The villagers were running for their lives, scant feet away from safety, and Nikolai's cultists were unloading on them. A young boy fell, an arrow embedded in his neck, blood spurting out like a fountain. The woman he had been carrying stumbled and was cut down by a shower of rocks and dust and steam.
"They're reaching fireball range."
"No!"
Kes heard herself scream, saw her legs propel her out of the safety of the tunnel, like a spectator in a bardic play. The scared men and women passed around her like a river, blinded by panic and fear. She held her shield in front of her with both hands, her head pressed against the reinforced iron, her cheek burning in pain after each impact. Arrows and spells rained around her. Brine's ugly face rolled on the ground a few feet away. A long shard of ice had pierced him right under his eye. Something punched her in the belly, drew the air out of her, and forced her to one knee.
"I'm dead,"
she realized. Maybe she could draw fireball impacts away from the villagers if she jumped out.
"Dead? You're wearing armor, you stupid fucking boot!"
Sergeant Riashia screamed at her.
"Move your ass! You're the last one!"
Kes roared again. Her feet were as heavy as lead, but she forced them up and down. With one hand she kept her shield up, and with the other she grabbed Brine by his hair and dragged herself and him into the tunnel. Something struck against her back, and she heard the deafening ring of her iron armor breaking. She went down and tasted blood. Several hands grabbed at her armor straps, then carried her inside.
"It's the traitor! Leave her!"
someone said.
"Shut the fuck up, Darla!"
This voice was closer. Through her blurred vision, Kes recognized Yorche's wife. What was her name? She had known the woman for years, but she couldn't remember her name. Half of the woman's face was covered in blood, caking her hair to her cheek and neck.
"Fight isn't over. On your feet, Boot."
Was that Rhea or herself speaking? It made zero difference. Rhea was dead, split in half by a Minotaur's axe a long time ago. Kes was the only one left, and the fight wasn't over.
"And Rena's potions."
She blindly rummaged through her belt, hoping that the flask hadn't fallen out during the fight. She found it, drank it all in one go, felt the disgusting substance reach her stomach, felt the energy surging back into her battered body. Her vision came back into focus. She stumbled up. Scared men and women were all around her, old and young. At her feet, Brine had an ashen look to his face, and he wasn't moving. No way to tell if he was still alive. People could shrug off worse, or die of less.
"What do we do?"
Yorche's wife asked. Ivona. Her name was Ivona.
"Go back,"
Kes told her.
"Left tunnel, all the way to the end. You'll find your husband's forge there. Hide, grab the spheres along the way. Don't make a sound."
Ivona nodded. With the help of two men, she picked up Brine and headed for the tunnel.
"What about you? You're hurt."
Kes could hear the blood dripping down from her back. She could feel its warmth soaking her clothes.
"I am Volantis's wall in the sky,"
she said. Her sword arm was unhurt. She cracked her neck left and right. She could sense her minor regeneration fighting back the blood loss.
"When my enemies rise past the clouds, they will break against me and be cast down!"
Let's go, Ivana. She's gone mad.
One by one, the villagers left the tunnel, heading for safety. She could hear the cultists coming nearer, their footsteps fighting for purchase, their curses, and the crisp orders of their leader. A red cape flapped in the wind, crimson against the moonlight silver. Kess's training took over, and her body reacted before her mind. Her sword flashed at the man. Her edge found resistance, then pushed through. The cultist let out a gargle as blood poured out of his torn throat. He fell back. The two cultists behind him tried to catch him, but they slipped and fell with him. Two more cultists took their place. One of them, a woman that could have been Ivona's cousin, lifted a finger in Kess's direction.
Fireball!
Kess activated her power strike, and the mage's head exploded like a melon dropped from a high surface.
Cleave!
Her blade surged with magical speed and precision to the other cultist, who barely had time to react. He tried to parry with his short sword, but misjudged the distance. Kess cut the tendon of his wrist, then jabbed with the tip of her sword and drove 3 inches of steel into the man's belly, whose screams of agony began to fill the air. Behind him, people were screaming curses at her. She pulled her sword out of the man, which did more damage on the withdrawal. He collapsed, blood and guts pooling under him. The effort of using both power strike and cleave in quick succession almost floored her in her weakened state.
Just a few more seconds,
she thought. She had to make sure Ivona and the others had enough time to hide. Someone else stepped through the opening and rushed at her.
Power strike!
The man had the presence of mind to lift his longsword and attempt a parry. Metal struck metal with a deafening screech. Red sparks showered Kess, and the smell of burnt hair filled her nostrils. The impact rang through her bones like her sword had been a part of her, and both weapons fell to the floor, ruined and bent. The man smashed against the wall, wincing in pain. Kess stumbled, fought for purchase, and pushed against the opposite wall to retain her balance. Her sword arm had gone numb and unresponsive. Broken? She wasn't in any pain, but that didn't mean much. Pain would come later.
Now then, the man told her, you've had your fun.
He smiled coldly, a gleam of madness in his features. Nikolai. His sword arm flapped, as broken as his sword. Or was it slithering, like a serpent?
Now it's my turn.
Kess was trained to react instantly to unknown magical effects, just as any self-respecting soldier was. But she had to do a double take when she saw Nikolai's arm stretch and shift, like meat and bone were but mere suggestions. The forearm grew brown ridges of exoskeleton, covered in slime, and the hand elongated and split itself in two. There was no blood, only fingers melting into each other, forming two fang-like appendages. Around the split where the palm had been but instants ago, tiny, sharp teeth grew in several rows, and it now looked like she was staring into the mouth of a giant leech. Somehow, it was a familiar sight to Kess, and that was what scared her the most.
What are you?
She asked.
I am Storevos's sword, Nikolai said simply.
His monstrous arm flashed like a whip in front of her.
He missed,
she thought. Then the pain came, burning, piercing, terrible. She looked down. Her shield had splintered in 1,000 pieces. Her arm was covered in blood. Her blood. And she was missing 2 fingers.
Back, boot, back!
The sergeant barked at her from a distant corner of her mind. But Kess couldn't help but stare at the wound.
I didn't even see it coming.
Nikolai kicked her in the chest, forcing the air out of her. She could feel her ribs compressing against her organs, trying to keep everything from bursting. She smashed against the wall.
Roll away!
Too slow. That monstrous arm flicked again.
What has he eaten from me this time?
A line of burning pain spread across her belly. Kess had lived long enough to fear wounds to the gut, had seen enough friends suffer terrible deaths because of them. She instinctively pressed a hand without even looking at the damage, trying to keep her insides where they belonged for as long as she could. Nikolai returned to her field of vision. He took a long sip from a flask, then his arm slowly returned to normal.
There we go. Another one of my enemies broken at my feet. The only question left is,
Someone handed him a new sword, and he pointed it at Kes's neck.
Are you part of Rites 20? Let's go with yes. You'll be the first.
Kes closed her eyes. She was too weak to protect herself. She had reached that point of exhaustion where even the energy expenditure of her minor regeneration, which she couldn't turn off, was enough to threaten her life.
Go fuck yourself,
she whispered weakly.
What?
Came Nikolai's answer. He was as surprised as Kes, because she was moving. Or, more precisely, she was being dragged through the ground. In her blood-loss-induced delirium, she believed that she was dead, and Charon himself was dragging her soul to hell. It was a sad prospect. On one hand, her chance at the avian afterlife had been stripped from her the instant she lost her wings. On the other, for years she had hoped she at least qualified for the afterlife of some neutral god. Hogbus would have been acceptable. Someone screamed in a rage. There was a brief explosion, and shards of rock smashed against her. Groggily, she looked up. A monstrous visage stared back at her, black eyes without sclera glinting maliciously at her. Long ears, elven-like, but there was nothing elven about the creature. It was dark-aligned through and through, but it wasn't Charon. She wasn't important enough for the boatman.
What are you looking at?
Nikolai's voice said, screaming in anger.
Don't let her get away!
Then he cursed, and a different voice screamed in pain.
No fireballs in an enclosed tunnel! Ancestor's balls, are you stupid?
Wait,
Kes thought.
Wait a second.
She looked up again. The creature's tunic had a gray monster emblazoned on its purple and pink cloth. She was being dragged away by Ed's drones. Four of them. She saw more of them past her boots. They were jumping in front of Nikolai, sacrificing themselves to buy a second or two for her.
Well, look at you.
Rhea's voice was distant now. Everything seemed distant.
You've never ceased to impress me, Kessa. Of all the boots in your batch, you're the only one who managed to hit rock bottom several times in a row.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Kes laughed and laughed, leaving a bloody trail on the ground under her. Nikolai was not in the mood to withstand any slight, and at the top of the list of slights he wasn't willing to withstand was being harassed by summoned imps while his prey escaped from his grasp. He cleaved through all the drones in one single strike. The puff of smoke as they were unsummoned blinded him for the briefest instant, and when he could see again, the crippled avian mercenary was nowhere around. Of course, he only had to follow the trail of blood.
I should have hit her harder when I had the chance.
He glanced down at all the people the woman had killed. Her suffering at his hands was but justice. One of the fallen was Peter, his intestines sprawled across the floor in a steaming pile. The tunnel stank of warm shit.
14 years old, wasn't he?
It wasn't the best age to die, but he had been a man of fighting age, trained by Rollum himself.
He joined us when he was but a boy. Eligian tax collectors hanged his parents when they couldn't pay, then burned down their farm.
Peter wailed suddenly, his face contracting in agony.
Still alive?
Not really. Peter's wound was lethal. A high-level cleric might have been able to restore him, maybe even get him back in fighting shape with a single spell. But there were no high-level clerics around. Out here, in the middle of nowhere, there was nothing anyone could do for the kid.
Except...
Nikolai bent over Peter's wailing shape and cut his neck from ear to ear. Peter's friends, who had just arrived inside the tunnel, tried and failed to contain gasps and curses.
My apologies, Nikolai told them. This is the only mercy I can give him. He's with his ancestors now, and I'm sure they're proud of him.
Brandon and Rollum, who had been covering the rear guard, arrived seconds later. Rollum glanced at the dead rebels and at the gore that covered the walls, ceiling, and floor of the tunnel. Then he noticed Peter, who wasn't moving anymore.
Fucking hell.
Brandon slumped against the wall, pale-faced, and covered his nose with his sleeve. "Now I regret purchasing my improved hearing talent. It was as if I could hear these poor sod's souls leaving their bodies." Rollum pushed the thief away from the gruesome sight.
"Later, Elf. We deal with it later."
"We keep moving," Nikolai said. "We've lost much of the element of surprise thanks to that suicidal bitch.
We can't afford to mourn our losses. We all knew what we signed up for."
To the rebels, Nikolai's word was law. They left the bodies there. Brandon took point, searching for traps as quickly as he could. The thief found a couple minor ones, none magical. An alarm bell, which was redundant now, a small batch of well-hidden spears with rough iron tips, and a rope connected to a net stuck to the ceiling, holding up small boulders, big enough to hurt, though probably not to kill.
"Non-lethal traps for the entrance, in case an ally accidentally triggers them," Nikolai thought with grim satisfaction. "You'll soon wish you hadn't been so careful, Edward."
The rebels arrived at a wide circular hall, reinforced stone walls decorated by pelts and tapestry the same color as the drones' tunics. There were three tunnels at the end of the hall. A rough linen rug covered the floor. There were a few items strewn around the floor. Baskets, plows, a kid's coat. Most of them lay in the general direction of the tunnel to the left. Nikolai took mental note of all details, but the most important one was the trail of blood heading into the middle tunnel. There, partially covered by shadows, was the figure of the avian bitch that had killed Peter and the others. She was resting against the wall, watching the rebels, breathing heavily. At once, his rebels made for her. Nikolai lifted an imperious fist.
"Halt!"
he called.
"I'll handle her.
We can't afford to lose any more time."
With any luck, the Wraith would make short work of Edward Wright. But if it didn't, Nikolai would rather not face an angry dungeon lord on his home turf.
"Brandon, secure that tunnel."
He pointed his new sword to the left tunnel and assigned five rebels for the thief to take.
"Rollum, secure the one on the right."
He gestured at five more rebels to follow Rollum. That left Nikolai with only three.
"Are you sure?"
Rollum asked him, while Brandon and his group ran past them and headed for their tunnel.
"You're awfully undermanned."
"Please, my friend,"
Nikolai said with a confident smile.
"What's she going to do? Bleed over my boots? Besides, I can regenerate almost any wound, and you cannot."
It was no coincidence that he had left the middle tunnel for himself. Historically, dungeons were more heavily guarded at their center than at their wings, if only because the seats were usually there. Meanwhile, in the middle tunnel, he saw out of the corner of his eye how the avian warrior gestured weakly at one of Wright's drones. She was shaking her head. "Wait," her lips seemed to enunciate.
"She won't have to wait for long."
Yes,
Rollum said with a sigh.
"I guess you're right. Take care, Nikolai."
With that, his group ran for the right tunnel. Nikolai didn't watch them go. He focused his gaze on the woman.
"Well, well. I don't know about your gods, avian, but you have about 3 seconds to start praying to them."
At his signal, Marius snapped forward and knocked an arrow on his short bow.
"Don't kill her if you can," Nikolai told him.
They were in a hurry, yes, but maybe she'd live long enough that he could take another bite out of her. The corpse of the monster coursing through his veins had a taste for living meat. His group reached the middle of the room.
"Now!"
the avian exclaimed. Nikolai saw one drone next to her, pressing a throwing knife to a taut rope that connected to the ceiling. He followed the rope's path, saw the net, bigger than the one in the tunnel, but instead of boulders or rocks, it contained...
dust?
He raised an eyebrow, confused.
What?
The drone cut the rope just in time, because Marius had switched targets, and an instant later the arrow struck the creature and unsummoned it. Too late. The net fell right over the rebels, burying them under a cloud of densely packed dust.
"What in the wetlands?"
Nikolai coughed, eyes watering, and loads of dust caking his throat and nose.
"Is wrong with you people?"
He began hacking at the net. A second drone ran out of its hiding spot behind the avian woman. It was carrying a small, smoldering torch in one hand. It locked eyes with Nikolai and flashed the rebel a sadistic, bone-chilling smile. Then it threw him the torch. There came a deafening roar, followed by heat, whiteness, and a lot of pain.
"We're under attack!"
Alder reached Zachary's chapel and found the man trying his best to bless a batch of knives.
"What?"
The man fumbled the words of his ritual and stared at Alder in disbelief. Alder quickly explained the situation as he grabbed the small handful of throwing knives the man had had time to bless. He dunked them in a holy water basin at the corner of the chapel for good measure.
"That won't help anything,"
Zachary warned him. The priest was in a sort of daze.
"Worth a try."
Alder filled his canteen with holy water, then tossed it into the wooden box full of potions that he had taken from Andrina, right next to Yorche's 3 silver-infused smoke bombs.
"Wait!"
Zachary yelled as the bard headed for the exit.
"What should I do?"
"The villagers are hiding with Yorche,"
Alder told him.
"Go to them. We'll handle the rest."
He left the priest there. Next stop was Levy's laboratory. The witch was studying her book, checking on a hell chicken egg lying on the table, and taking notes.
"We are under attack!"
Alder was getting very good at screaming those words. He glanced around the laboratory, trying to fight back panic as he did so.
"Eddie's always examining everything, no matter the danger."
Was there anything in the lab that Ed could use to fight a wraith? Besides Levy herself, that is.
"Oh, not again."
Levy's book fell to the floor in a heap.
"Mind brood? No, what am I saying? It's the wraith, isn't it?"
He only saw useless glass vases, bottles with animal parts and organs floating in greenish liquid, and the hell chicken egg.
"Maybe we can gross out the undead and make it want to leave us alone."
He barely stopped himself from laughing like a mad kaftar. If he lost his nerve now, he knew he wouldn't regain it.
"The wraith isn't our problem. Kes thinks there's an attack coming. From that rebel guy who summoned the wraith in the first place. The one with the dead girlfriend."
Surely Master Fauvaon wouldn't be proud of his storytelling skills.
"Back at the bardic school, the most I had to deal with was homework and trying to get myself a girlfriend,"
Alder thought with despair.
"When I wished for an interesting life, I never meant this."
How could he have known?
"Are you sure?"
Levy asked him. She was the third one asking him that. Yorche and Andrina hadn't believed him at first. He stared at her with his panicked expression.
"Dunghill,"
Levy said.
"Don't panic, Alder."
"A bit late for that."
"Where's Ed?"
"Facing the wraith alone, for all I know,"
Alder said.
"Of course he is. Probably wants to keep all the experience points for himself."
Levy tried to hide how scared she was, but Alder knew her well enough to notice the way her pale features had gone even paler, and had gained a shade of gray.
"I'm going to try to get him this,"
Alder pointed at the box.
"I don't know if it'll make any difference, but I don't know what else to do. Levy, I'm useless."
He wanted to scream in frustration. The only spell he knew was Minor Illusion, and he had learned it with the express purpose of impressing tavern wenches. His only bardic utterance was geared for running away from danger as fast as possible. All the experience points he had, he'd obtained by being in the general vicinity of braver people. Ed, Kes, even Levy sometimes, fighting creatures that would have eaten him for breakfast without batting an eye.
"Hell, during Ed's first day in Ivalis, he was already killing horned spiders. I can't still look at one without trembling."
"Alder!"
Levy's shriek made him focus again, made him realize his fear was getting the best of him.
"Get it together! We aren't going the way of Kael's dungeon, not this time we aren't."
She made her hands into fists.
"Find Ed, will you? You can get to him faster. I'll try to summon spirits to aid the Hans, then I'll find Kes."
"Spirits? Levy, you aren't ready for that ritual."
"Don't question my arcane might. Go, asshole, run!"
She threw her book at him. He barely dodged in time, swearing under his breath. He lifted the tray and headed for the door.
"And Alder?"
Levy called from behind him.
"Yes?"
"Be careful."
There was a group of red-cloaked strangers armed to the teeth coming his way, past Kess's training center. Alder saw them approach before they caught sight of him. He ducked into a small tunnel that led to the mess hall. The cultists, for what else could they be, passed him by. He wished that he had bothered to train a couple ranks in stealth. He counted 6 of them, all dangerous-looking, a rough sort, some sporting some nasty scars that branded them as veterans of multiple battles.
"They'll see me,"
he thought.
"No way they pass me by."
He knew he should be running for the mess hall, where he could hide better, but he dared not move. He was sure they'd spot him if he did.
"Secure that tunnel,"
the man at the lead said. He was an ox of